Hello and welcome to the Josh Holiday Podcast for the last day of February, the 28th of February. I'm actually recording this on Saturday night. If you're hearing the debut of this on Sunday night at 9 on talkradiox.com, then it will be new to you and new to the world, but it will have been in the can for about 24 hours. The reason I'm recording Saturday night is because tomorrow is a huge day for hockey and for Canadians, and it's just big Olympic finale, but mostly it's the Canada-US gold medal hockey game, which is going to be amazing. And it's weird that this week's podcast, there's a number of things that are happening this week that normally I would comment on, but they're just that far away from happening. There's, first of all, obviously the Olympics, the game tomorrow, which is going to be huge, and I'm so excited about it. To date, as of just watching the curling game, the men's curling earlier tonight, Canada took gold. We now have 13 gold medals, more than any other country, and tied for the record of gold medals in a Winter Olympics games. Russia has had 13 way back in the 50s. Norway had 13 golds back in 92. Now, I should say that I imagine since 92, they've added more events. So you do have to weigh that as well. But it's pretty awesome. We're not going to win the overall medal count, but to be out ahead with the most amount of golds compared to other countries like U.S. with 10 times the population, it's not bad at all. So that's where we are medal-wise. Hopefully we add at least another gold tomorrow afternoon with the hockey game. U.S.-Canada rematch from Salt Lake City, where Canada beat the U.S., and I hope it's good. I hope neither side, it's a blowout for either side. I hope they're both playing really, really well, and it's a tie, not a tie game, but it's kept close the whole way through. I really obviously want Canada to win because I'm Canadian, and that's what we do. We love hockey. We love our Canadian teams, and that we get behind them. But whatever happens, it's good for hockey. It's a sport I love. And if the U.S. happens to win, I imagine it will help boost viewership and popularity of hockey south of the border, which is a good thing for the sport itself. The Canada-U.S. game, the preliminary Canada-U.S. game in the U.S., was not carried by the main NBC network. Rather than putting it on the main network as a marquee game, here it was the most watched sports event in the history of Canadian television. In the States, they didn't even put it on the main Olympic network. Instead, they put it on MSNBC, which is usually their news channel. And not only that, MSNBC does not have a high-definition channel. So they couldn't watch the U.S.-Canada game in high definition. And if you've seen hockey in high definition, which all the games are in now, but it's hard to go back to regular old TV after watching hockey in high def. It's a perfect sport for it. It's bright. You can follow the puck easily, and it just lends itself very, very well to high definition. But in the States, NBC not showing a high-definition version of the game, but tomorrow afternoon, I'm almost positive. I think they will show that in high definition. So I'm pretty psyched. Another Olympic thing that's going to come after I've recorded this again. This is Saturday night. I'm recording this. Tomorrow is also the closing ceremonies, and I'm a little bit anxious. There's rumors out there that there's a few musical acts, but one of the musical acts might just be Nickelback. That's right, Nickelback, the Canadian band that represents everything that is shitty about the music and radio industry. Lead singer, uneducated, arrogant, misogynistic, drunk driving asswipe, and that's just the lead singer. Musically, Nickelback, right in the style of a 14-year-old boy going through puberty. They're a band in their 30s, writing like not-so-bright teenagers. They've sold a lot of records, you say. They're good. They've sold so many records, millions and millions of records. They've won Junos and blah 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 blah. That doesn't mean anything. Miley Cyrus has sold a ton of records, hugely popular. on the movie side, The Fast and the Furious, when it opened, the sequel to, or I think it was the third movie for Fast and Furious. It opened number one at the box office. It's not a good movie. It was a very popular movie. It's not good. On television, American Idol. That show's ridiculous. It's people watching karaoke. One of the most popular shows on television. Whenever it's on, it's number one. But it does not mean it's good. And I think people have to get over this notion that somehow popularity is equal to something being good. Because it just doesn't play. Nickelback is a great example of that. They are a shitty, shitty band playing mediocre, just white trash rock with no real discernible talent. Yet they're hugely popular. And I think for me, it's if they're in the closing ceremonies, as is rumored, it's kind of a national embarrassment, really. Because in Canada has great music and a really, really thriving indie scene. There's actually a ton of creative and talented bands across the country that don't appeal to the lowest common denominator. I mean, offhand, I'm trying to throw ones out there, but ones that would make sense are Vancouver ones, like New Pornographers, or even, you know, even though you might go, oh, Bare Naked Ladies, blah, 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 but I think in terms of fairly mainstream, middle of the road, with a sense of fun and not ridiculous, you know, maybe a reunited Bare Naked Ladies. I don't know, but anything but Nickelback. I would rather watch a steaming turd in front of a microphone than have to sit through Nickelback. So there you go. you know what? I think the U.S., if they're, because they do have some popularity in the U.S., I think this should be one of those deals where, you know what, you took Celine Dion off our hands. Now please help yourself to Nickelback. We have good music. And we don't need any more of this shit. All right. So that's another thing. The closing ceremonies, I won't know until next week's podcast what happened. Because it's SATURDAY night. Woo! And this podcast debuts almost every week. Every week that I can make sure I get it done, it debuts Sunday nights at 9 on talkradiox.com. And then it goes up on iTunes shortly thereafter. Another thing I'm excited about this week, I worry a little bit about the Olympics coming to an end because you've been saturated with all of these Olympic events, and it's pretty exciting, and especially the hockey is of such a high caliber that I'm like, oh boy, what am I going to do? But right away, the NHL season picks up again, so there's a bit of a there's still going to be hockey. And as a Leafs fan, the excitement of the games is more than, I'm trying to say not equal, is less than the excitement for the trade deadline because Leafs are second last in the entire National Hockey League. There's not a playoff hope for them at all. So the one thing they can do to create some excitement is at the trade deadline, which happens this Wednesday. Obviously, Ponikrovsky will go. There's a chance that Stepniak will head out of town. And the one question that keeps coming up, obviously, is Thomas Cabrelle, who has a no-trade clause in his contract. He's got another year at around $4.25 million, which is very affordable for a all-star defenseman. And also would be a great offensive defenseman going down the stretch through the playoffs. So that's great, but the problem is he has a no-trade clause. And if he doesn't waive it, then we're kind of stuck with him until the summer. But at least aren't going to make the playoffs, which means there will be a window for Brian Burke in the summer to trade Thomas Cabrelle. So the one thing, and it's likely to happen, I think the Cabrelle camp is starting to get the idea or get the hint that, well, if you don't waive it now, you're going to be gone in the summer anyway. If he gets traded in the summer, Brian Burke can trade him to any of the 30 teams in the league. Doesn't matter where, you know, Thomas Cabrelle will have no say whatsoever over where he goes. It's a trade. But if he allows himself to waive the no-trade clause here at the deadline, it gives him a little bit of control over where he might go. He's going to go either way. Here, he gets a chance to go and perhaps play on a Stanley Cup contending team. Plus, he gets to choose the team or at least give a list of teams where he would accept a trade to and have control over his destiny and where he'll also not just play through the playoffs, but play next year as well. So the last I heard, there was some speculation that finally he might have come around to letting it be known that he might waive for a certain team or two or three or ten. So we will wait and see on that one. But I'm pretty excited about seeing what happens this Wednesday because this season basically has been and is a write-off for the Toronto Maple Leafs. But maybe we'll at least get some excitement down the stretch watching some new players or at the very least get rid of some dead weight. So that's that. We will analyze the trade deadline next week. Right here, another thing that is happening this week that is between this week and next week's podcast is Stephen Harper, Canada's dictator, is coming. He's decided his vacation is over, and the Parliament returns on Wednesday. And then on Thursday, there's a budget. And I hope people are still not too distracted by the Olympics to remember how, well, basically dictatorial or how arrogant it was of Stephen Harper to decide to prorogue Parliament because he didn't want to face questions about Canada's role in potential torture, which is a huge issue. As Canadians, we pride ourselves on being fair. We pride ourselves on being of setting an example for other nations and other countries in terms of how we treat people, how we treat our own people, how we treat other people. And if we were complicit in torture, then there have to be answers. We don't torture. We're Canadian. And the more I see of Harper, and the more he acts in his arrogant way, how he ignores the press, how he I know it makes me frustrated. Anyway, he seems more and more like Bush Jr. And the sooner we can get rid of this asshole, the better. And unfortunately, Michael Ignatieff is not a really, really charismatic guy who you're like, oh, but he's the hope, he's the answer. But at this point, it's gotten to anyone is better than Harper. The sooner we can get Harper out of there, the better, because he's really ruining the country. And another thing that they did, and the budget is expected to come out later this week, and hopefully there's not a ton of cuts to public sector stuff, to social services, because as we were going through the recession, Stephen Harper's government reduced the GST, which no one was really clamoring for, asking for. A lot of times it's conservative governments will cut some sort of tax to increase their popularity, but in the long run, it hurts the country. And then when the inevitable happens and governments down the line have to make up for the deficit that's created by tax cuts, they look bad when they're just repairing the damage that was done before. And now there's talk of a huge deficit, and that a lot of it could have been avoided had Harper not gone ahead and like, oh, yeah, we'll just lower the GST a little bit. It really, really, it's really messing things up. And I guess we'll see on Thursday how they plan to attack the deficit and whether it's going to affect a lot of workers or there's going to be cuts to social programs. We'll have to wait and see. I'm definitely interested to see what happens. But I don't want to talk more about it. Harper, make me angry. Me angry, Harper. If you went to my website this week, joshholidayshow.com, you will have seen a pretty funny video. I suggest you go check it out. It's pretty funny. It's the second of a series that runs on funnyordie.com. It's the Ed Hardy Boys. If you know my take on Ed Hardy, I think it's the official brand of douchebags worldwide, which I think is now with Jersey Shore And just generally, I think people know now, but it's scary. I go to a department store and you pass by, something's like Ed Hardy cologne, Ed Hardy socks, Ed Hardy shoes, Ed Hardy everything. And the Ed Hardy Boys episode takes it even further. There's like an Ed Hardy condo. And the interesting thing is Christian Odigie, he's the guy who created the Ed Hardy nightmare. He makes a cameo in this, and I get the sense, because he's a French guy, and he, you know, I get the sense that he doesn't know that they're totally ragging on the fact that Ed Hardy is the douchiest brand in the world. And as a side note, Christian Odigie created the douchiest brand of the 90s as well, so he's two decades of douchiness brought to you by Odigie. He was also responsible for the Von Dutch brand of clothing. Another friend, knowing my disdain for this particular brand and douchiness in general, sent me a picture. It's from a, I don't know where the bar is. I imagine it's in New York. The sign in the window says, I'm going to paraphrase here, if it's on Jersey Shore, it doesn't get through the door. That's the main sign. So, and then they list the brands. No Ed Hardy, no Affliction. There's another brand on there. I can't remember, but I thought that was hilarious, and I was thinking about it. When I was in Calgary, there's a lot of Affliction and a lot of Ed Hardy, and I was thinking if they put that sign up at bars in Calgary, no one would be able to get in at all. And at this point, I don't understand how people don't know, because there's definitely some people who wear Ed Hardy and are naive to the fact that it's the most ridiculous brand in the world, and that it's basically labeling them douchebags. So if you have a friend who's wearing Ed Hardy, make sure you inform them that, yeah, it's kind of douchey. I actually, on Christmas morning, I opened up a small package. It was wrapped with my name on it, and I pulled out a pair of Ed Hardy boxer shorts. And they had some kind of Scully thing and said kill, blah, blah, blah. And then in gold writing the Ed Hardy signature thing. And I was sort of laughing. And I felt very bad. But my mother had bought me a pair of Ed Hardy underwear. And she thought, oh, I thought they're cool. And she said, obviously had no idea of how much in the past I had talked about this brand and how ridiculous it was. So it was kind of a fine line between being the nice son and trying to be grateful. And, well, the opposite of that. Oh, Ed Hardy, you are yuck. All right, let's get back to talking a little bit of Olympics. There's still some things I wanted to discuss. It's a lot of fun watching the Olympics, even if you don't know anything about them. Some sports where I'm like, you know, I can watch it and be like, oh, that looks cool. But I have no real knowledge on how technically, especially ones where they're scored, how they get scored, or the technicality of certain sports. But after about 10 athletes go by, you're like, oh yeah, I'm an expert, and you start prejudging. You're like, oh, he's going to get like a 125 on that run. But I don't really know. I definitely like the Winter Olympics much more than the summer ones, and I think it's that element of a speed. It's a lot faster. You have your bobsledding, your downhill skiing, lugeing, speed skating, obviously. It's a very fast Olympics, and most of the sports involve some kind of speed. The other thing about the Winter Olympics is there's more of an element of danger, obviously. When you take those speeds and it's on ice and snow, there's a lot more danger and a lot more risk involved. So I think it ups the ante and makes it that much more exciting. And it's also the winter sports is where you get into hockey, which obviously is a Canadian thing, and we like it as well because we're northern part of the world. We get snow and we get Winter Olympic type conditions. I also like the fact that it's not just, you know, a guy in a t-shirt and a guy in a tank top and shorts running or jumping. There's equipment involved as well, and gadgets, and there's all kinds of, like, I'm interested in the technology as well of you know, speed skating, the hinged boot and all that stuff, and it contributes to whether a team wins or loses. So it adds an extra element as well. I just think the Winter Olympics are by far more entertaining than the Summer Olympics. Probably, I think in the Summer Olympics, the most exciting thing is the, you know, the 100-meter sprint. That's about it. And that's over in, you know, under 10 seconds. Like my sex life. No. Zing pow. No. It's 11 seconds of my life. Okay, come on. All right. Another thing I liked about these Winter Olympics is James Duffy. At first, when I saw him on TSN, when he first became sort of the hockey guy, I was like, oh, this guy. I wanted not to like him because I was like, oh, I don't know. There seems to be some schmarm or whatever. But the more I saw him on hockey, the more I realized, oh, he's actually A, smart, B, has a sort of a wry sense of humor, but is pretty likable, and he has his shit together. And now he's getting to display his skills on a bigger stage with the Olympics, and he's shining. So good for James Duffy. And, okay, I've got a criticism here for CTV. First of all, the other night, it was a late game. I think it started at midnight or 11:30, and it was a weeknight. And so but I was watching it because I believe it was the Swedes and I think it was Finland and the Swedes. I lose track. I believe it was Finland and the Swedes maybe. But basically it was the game that would determine who Canada would play in their semifinal match. And so I was kind of interested to watch it and see how the different plays play, how the different teams played and how they might match up against Canada. So I'm watching it. I'm enjoying it. Although it's a low scoring game, and it gets into the second period and it's still 0-0. And then in the middle of the action, it cuts to our Brian Williams, and he's like, well, we're going to get back to the game. If you want to continue watching it, go to ctv.ca. And then the reason they're cutting away is so they can get an interview with the girls who had just won earlier in the afternoon, had won the bobsledding. By the way, one of those girls, I can't remember her name, Haley, or very attractive, but not attractive enough to merit going away from the hockey. So they cut away from the hockey. We're in Whistler Village, and it's Jennifer Hedger sitting in the middle of the square, and we're waiting, and there's a crowd waiting for these girls to arrive. So it's like, okay, come on, the hockey's on, and we're kind of waiting around for them to arrive, and they're stalling and trying to buy time, waiting for these girls to arrive, and then they start doing the interview. And then I got on my computer. I was like, all right, well, I'm going to go try and watch the game. And you know, I'm going to the CTV website. I'm trying to find where the streaming is. And I'm looking around. And by the time I can find it, they cut back to the hockey. And in the 10 minutes they were away, the Slovaks had gone up by two goals. So it was now 2-0. So we missed the first two goals of the game. I was like, what the it's just a bad decision. I don't know who made it. But that's a terrible broadcasting decision. Whoever decided to cut away from live action of hockey, the most popular sport in the Winter Olympics, and a fairly important game, cut away in the middle of it to get an interview with these girls who had won earlier. They'd also been interviewed briefly trackside, so this was an additional interview. And I don't think anyone's going to complain if you tape an interview and air it 20 minutes later at the intermission. There was no real reason to do that interview live at all. So it was a big mistake on CTV's part. But again, the bobsled girl, the sort of shortish blonde one. Okay, let's get on to talking more about CTV's coverage of the Olympics. Another thing that seems unnecessary is every element of their programming they're throwing at this thing. There's tons of promos in the I Believe song. There's a lot of criticism about that. I'd just be adding to the chorus on that one. But I'm really... they have a show that's basically like an Entertainment Tonight type show on CTV, hosted by another Canadian embarrassment, Ben Mulrooney. And he actually appeared... They had him as an interview on the American television channel, and they listed him as Ben Mulrooney analyst. Maybe they meant analyst. I could accept that, but he is no analyst, let me tell you. And he is basically the Ryan Seacrest of Canada, though less talented. And Ryan Seacrest has very little talent, and to have less talent than Ryan Seacrest, that tells you how much talent there is. And they also, I was watching some daytime events, and they cut away for like 15, 20 minutes. They had a feature with I don't know if it was E-Talk people, or I think it was MTV people. And they spent about 15 minutes talking about how the night before they were at a party and Cindy Crawford was there and she was so nice and she still looks good and, oh, Cindy Crawford, well, she's great, blah, blah, blah. They just rambled on and on. It was like such starstruck bullshit. And it was so just annoying. It's like, who gives a shit? Who cares? Let's get to the Olympics. I don't care if Cindy Crawford, you know, an aging supermodel, was at a party you were at and you think she's nice, or who cares? Especially you. Like, who are you? I don't give a shit what you say. It was just really frustrating. I guess I get tired of that whole celebrity fawning thing that goes on some of the TV channels. Another guy who I see sometimes on the West Coast sports updates is sportscaster Jay Onright. But that guy just strikes me as, I don't know whether he's creepy or smug or a combination of both, but I just get oddball. I get douche chills watching him. I'm going to read you something here. It's in very small writing, so hopefully I can read it. I just printed it off, and it printed it very small. Brian Williams, if you're listening to this podcast, you might know only one Brian Williams, and it could be one of two television Brian Williams, and they're both doing some of the same things at the Olympics. Brian Williams, the NBC Nightly News anchor, was doing some quarterbacking of the Olympics from Vancouver. And our Brian Williams, longtime sports quarterback and Canadian sports broadcasting legend, I guess you would say, and fairly genial, nice guy, Warren. It seems like a great guy. As does the NBC guy. Well, apparently they met and they had a good conversation. And Brian Williams, the U.S. guy, he headed home at the end of this week. And he, on the MSNBC website, he wrote a thank you note to Canada. I'm going to try and read it here in small writing. Thank you, Canada, for being such good hosts, for your unfailing courtesy, for your mostly beautiful weather, for scheduling no more than 60% of your float plane departures at the exact moment when I was trying to say something on television, for not seeming to mind the occasional or constant good-natured mimicry of your accents, for your unique TV commercials for companies like Tim Hortons, which made us laugh and cry, for securing this massive event without choking security and without publicly displaying a single automatic weapon, for having the best garment design and logo wear of the games. You've made wearing your name a cool thing to do. And a side note here, yeah, the Bay, Hudson's Bay Company, have done a great, great job with the Olympic outfits. The CTV branding, not as cool, but the Bay and their Canada logos and the jackets, it's just really, really well done. I don't know who designed it or anything like that, but it's great. It's really good stuff. Back on to Brian Williams thanking Canada. Thank you, Canada, for the sportsmanship we saw most of your athletes display, for not honking your horns. I didn't hear one car horn in 15 days, which also means more of my fellow New Yorkers. None of my fellow New Yorkers rented cars while visiting. For making us aware of how many of you have been watching NBC all these years. For having the good taste to have an anchorman named Brian Williams on your CTV network, who turns out to be such a nice guy. For the body scans at the airport, which make pat-downs and cavity searches unnecessary. For designing those really cool LED Olympic lights in the harbor, which turned gold when your athletes won one. For always saying nice things about the United States when you know we're listening. For sharing Joni Rochette with us, for reminding some of us we used to be a more civil society, and mostly for welcoming the world with such ease and making lasting friends with all of us. So that's Brian Williams of NBC, and he what a great guy, and what a nice love letter to Canada as he's leaving the country. Thank you, Brian. All right, I'm going to play some comedy for you here now. I hope you will enjoy it.
So now I'm married, and sex is very different when you're married because it doesn't exist, actually. I was talking to a friend of mine about how my wife and I don't really fuck anymore, and he said, well, does she blow you at least? What are you, fucking high? You think she's blowing me? Who wants to blow their husband? Who the fuck would want to? What a bummer to blow your husband. You don't want to blow your husband. You want to blow your date. That's who you want to blow. You want to blow a guy you've been dating and you don't quite know him yet. He comes over and he picks you up. Ooh, that's a new shirt. I never saw that shirt on him. It's very handsome. You go to dinner. He's like, here, try this. Oh, new things. I like new things. Tells you something funny, makes you laugh. Oh, he shouldn't say that, but it's more. Shouldn't say. Tells you a sad story. Oh my God. You go back to his place, you suck his cock, and you go home. That's the proper context for a blowjob. Nobody wants to blow a guy and then go to IKEA with him all day. That's not fun. Do his shitty laundry, and then he comes out of the bathroom. All right, you suck my dick, okay? Will you suck my dick right now? Yes, I'm fucking dying to suck your smelly old fucking disgusting dick for the 1,000th time. I can't fucking wait. My wife gave me a hand job the other day, and I got to tell you that I think that hand job was probably the saddest thing that ever happened in America. It really was the saddest fucking thing. That hand job was so tragic. There should be like a monument to that hand job with a reflecting pool where you just sit and think, God, that was fucking sad, and you. A little thing where you put rocks on it and think about it, and you know. Here's what happened. I'm going to tell you about this hand job. My wife and I were home in the middle of the day. The baby was asleep on our bed. The 4-year-old is wherever the fuck she goes all day. And my wife and I are sitting on the couch, just sitting there, just fucking married on the couch, you know, just. And my wife looked at me, and I don't know where she got this sort of sense that I was in. She said something like, hey, we have to go to that thing for the... And I was like, who gives a shit? Like, I don't know what it was that tipped her off that I was starting to feel real bad. Here's the thing, is that as far as sex, for guys, it's just not... We just need to release. That's all it is. We just need it. Women, it's like a fucking emotional thing where they need... We need to come just because we need to. Women, it's like they get into it. They shiver, and then they lie on their side and cry after and all that kind of shit. But for guys, it's just something that we need to do so that we won't murder people. That's all it is, really. Just maintenance. Open the fucking valve once in a while, please. The city should put a red tag on the dick that has a PSI level that's unacceptable. And my wife always waits till it's fucking way, like, till it's critical. She lets it go so long. Until finally we're sitting on the couch and she looks at me really like, okay, we're going to all be in the paper tomorrow if I don't fucking do something. So, she doesn't want to fuck me, she doesn't want to blow me, so she looks at me and she goes, well, would you like a hand job? And I'm like, yeah, that sounds awesome. So we go upstairs to my daughter's room because it's the only empty room in the house. Hey, you know what? Fuck you. I paid a rent. I'll shit on her bed if I want to. Seriously. Let me have a fucking hand job in my house. It's all I get. It's not me. She won't jerk me off in the living room because there's too much nice shit I'm not allowed to come on. That's the whole thing. I don't even get to enjoy my orgasm because the second I'm coming, she's pointing my dick away from stuff. Ew. Oh, careful. She points it into my belly button, like, make it go back in there. Can it go back in? All right, so I'm lying on the floor in my daughter's room looking up at the mobile of fucking ducks and airplanes. What does a fucking duck need with an airplane? What does a baby give a shit? So I'm laying there on the floor, and my wife is just sitting next to me, just in her bathrobe, just like. And weirdly, I'm not getting off on this. The fucking woman grimacing and tugging on my penis dryly while basically reading People magazine at the same time. It's not that I'm not getting off on it. For some, it's taken me a while to come. And she starts getting impatient. She's like, come on! Come on! Like yelling, come on, into my dick. Seriously. At one point, I wanted her to lick her palm. I got this idea. Maybe if she licks her palm, there will be some semblance of something going on. And so I had to... You got to approach asking for those things carefully. You can't just go, hey, lick your palm, like that, because that'll ruin whatever mood there already isn't. So I go like, hey, lick your... Maybe lick your palm. Lick your palm. Lick your palm. She's like, what? Lick your palm. Lick your palm. Lick your palm. She goes, what the fuck are you saying to me? You know what she thought I said? She thought I said, you look like your mom. So now I gotta get that out of my head. I'm trying to fucking like close my eyes and fantasize that she gives a shit. Nothing's working. And finally she goes, hey, I'm getting really tired. So you know what I did? I finally just took her hand in my hand and I just jerked myself off with her hand. She's like, oh, thank you. That's much easier that way. That has to be the lowest form of sex that's even fucking possible. To just be jerking myself off with my tired wife's hand. She might as well be dead at that point. Seriously, she might as well be a fucking corpse. I came home and found her dead. Fuck it, I'm getting one more before I call the police. Just one more. Who's it hurting? I'm not hurting nobody. I'll call 911. She's not getting any deader. Cops find DNA on her wrist. She gave him a hand job and then died of shame, I think. I don't know what happened. I don't know. It's really the kids that do you in. As a matter of fact, we have two kids. That's fucking stupid. Don't do that. Because you just... It also, mainly what it does to a marriage, it just changes the way that you think about your spouse. Because when you're married, when you first get married, you have a relationship that's so important to you and you're working on it together. But then you have a kid and you look at your kid and you go, holy shit, this is my child. She has my DNA. She has my name. I would die for her. And you look at your spouse and go, who the fuck are you? You're a stranger. Why do I take shit from you? But it's the kids that make it very hard. We have two. We have a baby, and I don't really know the baby, to tell you the truth, because she hasn't said anything, so I don't really know her. I like her. She's fine, but I don't know her. How do I know what she's really like? Maybe she fucking hates Jews. I don't know. I don't know nothing about her. People ask about her all the time. They're like, hey, what's your baby like? She's a fucking baby. What do you want to... You ever seen a baby? That's exactly what my baby's like. But what's going on with your baby? Jesus. She got fired from Target, and she's getting an abortion. It's been a tough year, but otherwise, you know. It's not a very complicated relationship with a baby. It's just somebody I have to make not die. That's really what the whole thing is. And I'm better at it sometimes than others. One time I took my daughter to the grocery store and I had to put her in the stroller. She won't go in the fucking cart. She's the only baby in the world that won't go in the shopping cart and sit there. You try to put her there and her legs curl up and she goes, ah! Fucking psycho. So I gotta put her in a stroller and I got a cart and I'm pushing them both through the fucking supermarket. And then so I'm done shopping and then I go out to the parking lot and I open the car. First I start the car before I put them in there because I want it to get nice and cool because I love her, so I have to make it nice and comfortable. I do. I love my children. I love my wife. I wish I didn't. How awesome would that be to wake up one morning, fuck, I don't feel nothing for these assholes, and just walk out the door. But so far, no such luck. So... I start the AC, then I put the groceries in, then I go to get my daughter out of the stroller. I got down there and I realize that the exhaust pipe is right in her fucking face. It's just fucking... I'm like, fuck! I almost killed my kid in the dumbest fucking way ever. If she died like that, I couldn't tell her mom. I couldn't fucking go home with that story.
Well, I put her in the fucking, I don't know, I didn't realize. Fuck you. I don't know.
I'd have to throw her into traffic. Help! You know, that would be better. To actually tell her that I threw her into traffic. The other kid we have is, she's a girl and she's 4, and she's also a fucking asshole. It's true, man. I'm serious. I say that with no remorse. Fucking asshole. She's a douchebag. She is. Fucking jerk. The other day, I'm like, put your shoes on. We're trying to leave. Put your shoes on, please. Put your shoes on. Put your shoes on. How many times can you say that to somebody before you just want to kick them right in the fucking face? Seriously, if you're with a group of people that are trying to go somewhere and you can't go because a member of your party just refuses to put their shoes on, that person is a fucking asshole, okay? You don't do that to people. Imagine being with a group, hey, we can't go. Why? Because fucking Bill won't put his shoes on. He just won't put them on. Fuck, Bill, what's your problem?
I don't want to put them on.
Fuck you. Fucking kids suck. Seriously. The other day, I walk in the kitchen. She's talking to my wife. She says, Mama, I saw a doggy today. And I was like, really? Where did you see a doggy? And she's like, I'm telling Mama, not you. I'm like, hey, fuck you. I'm just asking to be nice anyway. What, you think I actually give a shit about the dog you saw? Like that was going to be an awesome story that you saw a fucking dog. Who gives a shit? I got better stories than you. I have an interesting life. I'm on fucking television. I won an Emmy. You don't ask me what fucking happened to me today, you little bitch. No. I didn't say that to her, obviously. But that's the thing. Nobody ever calls her on her bullshit. That's how she got to be an asshole in the first place. Nobody just goes, ah, fuck you. You don't know. I'd love to, for one day, just fucking be totally on. Oh, you drew a dog? Let me see. That's not a... That's, shouldn't mean it's a scribble. That's nothing. That's not even anything. Show me a dog that looks like that. I'll give you $1,000. Seriously. God, fucking... Oh, the other day I was just like, just dreaming about just fucking kicking her. Like, kicking her out a window, you know? Just fucking... I would never fucking hurt her, but I wanna. I do, you know? One time my daughter had a black eye because she walked into a door because she's stupid. And she had a little black eye. And I took her to ice cream. We went to ice cream place. And everybody in the ice cream place is like, give me a dirty look. And I realized they think I hit her. And she has a black eye. Now that's why I'm taking her ice cream. That's what they think. And I was so insulted. I want to say, hey, fuck all of you, okay? She's this big. You think if I hit her, she'd have a black eye? She'd be fucking decimated. There'd be nothing there. Look at this shit. I would ruin her head with one punch. Easily. She has no defensive skills. She fucking sucks. She'd be like just smiling at me. And there'd be just fucking... Just a dent there like a fucking bomb went off.
There is a long set of comedy from none other than Louis C.K. I was thinking about this weekend. I think I'll do it in a future podcast, but I was trying to narrow down my top comedians. I think top 10, and then I thought, wow, then it'd be like a whole gaggle. I think if I can narrow it down to top 5, excuse me, a little burpy. If I can narrow it down to top 5, then I can play them for you. Though there's one problem I can think of that. Although I could probably pull a YouTube clip, but definitely my top 5 comedians. I'm talking stand-up comedians here, because once it gets into the realm of all the other genres, then you know, kind of throws things off. But in terms of pure stand-up comedy, Norm Macdonald is definitely near the top. He if you haven't had a chance to see him live in a comedy club, he just tears it up. He's just such he's very smart. I mean, he's like smart and intelligent, but he kind of plays the character of kind of not being smart. So, but it's just such a clever way he does it. He's just a really, really brilliant stand-up comic and on the fly, and he has tons of material. And if ever you get the chance, go and see Norm Macdonald. But that said, the comedy we just heard was from Louis C.K. from his album Shameless. And Louis C.K., another guy who would definitely be in the top five. I've seen him quite a few times. Not so much recently. I saw him as part of a Just for Laughs gala here in Toronto over the summer. But I remember years and years ago seeing him at a club in Toronto. Saw him on, I think, a Thursday or Friday night, and then went back the next night with friends because, like, oh, you got to see this guy. He's awesome. And yeah, he really tore it up. Just a really, really smart writer. And as a trivia note, he actually used to be the head writer on the Chris Rock Show. So he can write for guys that aren't pasty white Irish as well. He's just a really funny comedian, a great writer. And the TV show he did, the I can't even remember the name of it, something Louis. I don't know. I couldn't really get into it, but I believe he has a new project coming out. So we'll keep fingers crossed for that. I've been pretty busy lately doing some work for the CBC, and I had a chance to make these Olympic interstitials for the Sirius channel, the CBC Radio on Sirius. And I'm going to put them up on my website, joshholidayshow.com, once the Olympics are done, because they're made exclusively for the 2010 Winter Olympics in Vancouver. So I can never reuse them for any other thing, nor can the CBC. So what I'll do is, if you don't have Sirius, you probably didn't have a chance to hear them, and even if you did, you might not have even been on that channel. So I'm going to put them up on my website this week, and you can have a chance to listen. But right now, I will give you a sneak preview of one of them, so you get the idea. They were all 3-minute interstitials, and we did 11 of them. So take a listen to this.
Live on location from the 2010 Winter Olympics in Vancouver, it's another not-so-Olympic moment with your hosts, Steve Hammerstone and Tawny Skypunch.
Steve Hammerstone.
And Tawny Skypunch from the 2010 Winter Olympics in Vancouver, right?
Are so excited to be here in Vancouver. This assignment landed right in our laps, and we were like, hey, whoa, look
what's
at this.
What's this? Well, we thought it was an asteroid at
first.
Yeah,
but it's not an asteroid.
A meteorite.
Or a meteor. Are those the same?
I have no idea, really. I know that one came hurtling towards the Earth, and Bruce Willis blew it up.
And if you don't know us, we're from Fenland Falls, a small Ontario town in the Cobequunk area.
Although I can't imagine how many people out there have not heard us before. We are Fenland Falls' number one drive time DJs for over 10 years now.
That's right. We have been the number one morning show for over 10 years. Okay. They even gave us the key to the city.
That's right. It doesn't work. Although we tried to start the city up and take it for a drive, didn't we?
It did not.
It did not work.
Really big key.
It's a novelty size key.
So the biathlon, is this, let me guess here.
Okay.
I'll try and guess.
Do it.
Is this where they go for a polar dip? They swim in the ice water, then they jump on a snow bicycle and ride around a mountain course. Is that...
It could very well be, but as once again, I can't confirm that or
let's
not.
Just
oh,
have
look,
a...
hey, hold on a second. I have a biathlon here. A biathlon competition consists of a race in which contestants ski around a cross-country track and where the total distance is broken up by either two or four shooting rounds.
So they're skiing. Wait
they're
a second.
Skiing and shooting.
And shooting.
Yeah.
So they're just skiing around and I guess
they're shooting at stuff. Well,
you shoot your competitors and then... The person who wins gets the gold.
I think
the,
that would be counterproductive because we are looking for a contest with a few winners here, you know?
Right.
So I do know that half the shooting is done in a prone position, which I guess is lying on the ground.
I've been in a prone position before.
Hey, Steve, come on. It's no, family radio.
That's
Let's
true.
Not go there
That's true.
Again.
So it's a stop and shoot.
Remember why we had to leave
that long ago. Long
10
ago.
Years ago, yeah.
So you stop.
You stop.
You pull out a gun and you
gun.
Shoot. The stop and shoot. That sounds like the name of a variety store in Washington, D.C.
Oh, come on.
Like,
he went there just
there.
Now.
I did.
He went there.
I did.
You did go there.
I went there.
Yeah, you went there.
I went there and I came back with milk because it's a variety store.
Get me some milk and bullets.
All right. So what? They stop and they shoot the targets?
The biathlete must hit five targets.
Yep,
five targets. Each missed target must be atoned for in one of three ways.
Atoned.
There's atonement.
Wow. This basically involves a lot of shooting and skiing. Did this sport originate in the U.S.? No.
Good
no.
one, Steve.
This has been another not-so-Olympic moment.
There you go. Those are some Olympic interstitials they did with Lisa Brooke, the very funny Lisa Brooke. Did those for the Olympics, and I'll try and put the remainder of them. There's 11 total. I'll try and get them up on my website, joshholidayshow.com, sometime this week. This one is almost done. The Oscars are coming up, and I just wanted to say, I the Golden Globes I watched with interest, because they're usually a good indicator of what might happen at the Oscars, and was kind of disappointed. I haven't seen Avatar yet, so I'll put that out there. But from what my friends say, I have no doubt that it's quite an amazing experiential movie in terms of technology and 3D, and it's very immersive, and it's kind of a mind-blowing movie. That said, even if it is all those things, I would be disappointed if it won for Best Picture, because Best Picture should be the movie that tells the best story. And I don't think Avatar is its strength is in its story or even in its acting. I think the movie that you want to take Best Picture combines great acting, combines great storytelling, and then third to that is maybe visually or technically or something like that. But I don't think you should win Best Picture based on how mind-blowing the technology is when your story and your characters are kind of thin. So I'm really hoping, if I have my druthers, and I'm using the word druthers, yes, I really like The Hurt Locker. That was a great movie. But I also really liked Up in the Air. And I think for me, if it was just me voting, I would probably pick Up in the Air. But we will see what happens. And definitely have commentary as we get closer to the Olympics. But in the meantime, that is it for me. Have yourself a great week. Goodbye.